Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How well do you see? How good is your vision? Well, they speak for themselves. According to the Vision Council of America, approximately 75% of adults benefit from some sort of vision correction. About 64% of the adults in the U.S. wear eyeglasses, spectacles, and about 11% wear contact lenses. Interestingly enough, over half of all women wear glasses, but only 42% of men wear glasses. And I suspect that has nothing to do with their vision, just the fact that men are too lazy or vain to get their glasses on their faces. Speaking as a man, I just like to be able to see. Nowadays, wearing glasses or contacts aren't the only way to correct your vision. You could also have that laser eye surgery to correct your vision. Anybody here had it? Yeah, count me out. You're not putting contacts in my eyes. You're not shining a laser in my eye. And it's a battle to even get eye drops into my eyes. So I'm just going to keep wearing my progressive trifocal glasses. Jesus was concerned about Simon the Pharisee's vision in our gospel reading this morning. Simon had asked Jesus to his house to have to eat with him, and Jesus went, which wasn't unusual for Jesus to eat with people. He ate with the disciples, he ate with tax collectors, he ate with prostitutes and sinners. He was known to hang out with the people who were on the margins of society. But even though Jesus had this reputation for socializing with the culturally undesirable, it is surprising to find him in the home of a Pharisee. So it makes you wonder why Jesus said yes to the invitation, but it also makes you wonder why Simon extended it. Jesus must have seen something in Simon. While he was at the table with Simon and the other invited guests, a crowd had gathered outside of the home. And this was not unusual at the time. If you invited a public figure, somebody like Jesus who was becoming well known, it was sort of incumbent upon you, or you would actually do it because you figured, you know, you had this person of status at your house, so you'd leave the windows and the doors open, you'd leave the gate open so that people could gather around on the outside and gawk, but also hear what this guest, special guest had to say. If he had any special teaching or anything, you could hear that as well. So you had the invited guests at the table, and the uninvited could watch and listen from a distance. And there was a woman from the city who was a sinner in the crowd. And you see, she had heard that Jesus would be eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came with an alabaster jar of ointment. And without saying a word, this woman shattered the social boundary that required her to remain outside of the home as she made her way to Jesus. And she joined him. Jesus was also an outsider, but she joined him in the inner circle of this Pharisee's home. Standing behind him, she wept over his bare feet and dried them with her hair. As Mr. Justin said, can you imagine how many tears that must have taken? Talk about boundary-breaking behavior. No one, regardless of their social standing, would expect to see such an intimate expression of love in such a public setting. Yet the woman's actions didn't seem to provide any sort of response. At least no audible response is recorded by the gospel writer. What we read about are the thoughts of Simon the Pharisee, who began to question whether Jesus could in fact be a prophet. Because a prophet, he reasoned, would have surely known what kind of woman it was who was washing and anointing his feet, and he wouldn't have let it happen. A prophet would have known that this was a woman with a reputation. A sinner. So Jesus responds as though he has heard what Simon is thinking. And he says the first words that are recorded as being said in our reading. Simon, I have something to say to you. Then Jesus proceeds to tell this story of the two debtors. The debt of one was 10 times greater than the debt of the other, but it didn't matter because neither of them could repay their debt. When both debts were canceled, Jesus asked Simon, who will love the moneylender more? The one with the biggest debt forgiven or the least? And now Simon correctly, although not confidently, responds, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt, he said. And then Jesus asks a question that connects his teaching from this parable to the events of the evening. Jesus turns to the woman, and Jesus asks Simon, do you see this woman? Well, clearly Simon had seen her because he'd had these thoughts about her. But Jesus wasn't asking if Simon saw her. He was asking if Simon had truly seen her. Had he seen the loving gratitude in her tears, the bold faith in her actions, the humility of her tear-drenched, dirty hair? Jesus isn't asking Simon a question about his vision as though it were a vision test. He is asking him how well he sees. Although laser surgery has grown in popularity, I know very few people have actually had it. Actually, I know dozens of people, however, who've had cataracts removed from their eyes. And I guess that tells you about the age of people I hang out with in the church. Actually, Robin's mom had cataract surgery on Friday, and my mom's going to have it sometime here in the next few weeks or months. And I have only heard one person complain about the effectiveness of their cataract surgery in all those years. It was my grandma, who admitted to being able to see colors more vividly, but she was disappointed that after having cataract surgery, she still needed to wear her glasses. Now, I have heard a lot of people rave about how good their vision is after having the surgery, and most, their only complaint is how well they can see themselves in the mirror and how much they have aged without realizing it. There was a woman at the church where I did my internship on the south side of Chicago who, after she had her cataract surgery, she remarked that she thought she looked pretty good. What was surprising to her was how much everybody else had aged. In our story from Luke, Jesus wanted the cataracts in Simon's eyes removed so that he would not continue to see people the way that he saw them. Jesus wanted Simon to see this woman from a new perspective. He didn't want him to see her with her wrinkles or her sin. Jesus wanted Simon to see her the way that Jesus saw her, as a child of God. You see, this teaching is about seeing. It's about how Jesus sees, and it's about how we see each other. The woman, like the greater debtor, was overflowing with love and gratitude toward Jesus because she recognized her deep need for forgiveness. The man with the larger debt is the most grateful because his great debt has been canceled. But did you notice how Jesus asked this question about the two debtors? He doesn't ask who will be most grateful or most appreciative. No, he asks which of the debtors will love the creditor who canceled their debts more. The implication being that the debtor who has a larger debt forgiven will respond with a greater love, much like this sinful woman has. For she came to Simon's home to demonstrate her love and her faithful devotion to Jesus. She didn't come to repay him for canceling her sin, because she could have never done that. But she came in response to the gracious gift of forgiveness that she had been given. She was compelled to demonstrate her love for Jesus by serving him. And while Jesus saw the love and gratitude in the woman's actions, Simon saw this woman, this sinful woman, as nothing more than an interruption to his dinner party. I wonder how often we see people like Simon saw this woman. Too often, I'm afraid, we see people's sinfulness, their lifestyle, their addictions, their behavior, and we condemn them for them. We judge them and categorize them, and we write them off as sinners who have nothing more, who are nothing more than an interruption to us as we share a meal together, as we do church together. We allow our prejudices, our desires, our memories, our projections, and our selective way of looking to hamper our ability to see Jesus in the other. If we do not see our brothers and sisters as children of God, lovingly made in the image of God, then we also limit our ability to share God's gracious love with them. For we can never fully become the disciples we want to be unless we see the good, the God, the grace, the Christ in each other. As a Pharisee, Simon knew the law, the religious do's and don'ts as well as anyone. And it allowed him to see and define other people through that narrow, judgmental lens. The irony in this story, I think, is that once the woman has been forgiven, we don't know what her sin is, but once she has been forgiven, it's Simon's judgmental inhospitality that is the glaring sin that remains in this story. It becomes a sin that needs forgiveness in our reading. And it's easy for us to judge Simon. But be careful. Be careful. Because as we begin to only see the sin that Simon is committing, we too are becoming like Simon. Instead of seeing the Christ in Simon, it's easy to see the sin in others and judge them for them. They're not being Christian enough. They're not being Christian in the way that I understand a Christian needs to be. Shame on them. Or do we see Christ in them? Do we see them as more than the sin they may be committing? Do others see us as more than the sins we have committed? Each equally in need of God's grace and God's mercy and the forgiveness and the love that's extended at this table, this hopefully hospitable table, that each of us comes as invited, as guests, not entitled, but to receive the gift that is offered to us. Judging one another, not seeing the face in each other, that is the challenge for us, to see one another as Jesus sees us is a challenge for us. So how good is your vision? How well do you see? How well do you see your neighbor? Do you see them for who they are or only for what they have done? How well do you see? Amen. Mm-hmm.